Terrific. So, hi everyone. My name is Lisa Lorraine Smith. I'm the Chief Program Officer here at the network. I've seen many of you and over the years I've been here in different groups and in this group, and it's always good to see you. This has been an extremely stressful year, and it's just good for us to come together as professionals, I think, and to talk about what's going on. I want to thank loudly and clearly Stacy Spencer from JFS of Minneapolis, JCFS, JFCS, I'm not really sure because I only told her to write Minneapolis on there. And Jamie Weiner from JFS of Houston. I'm not even sure I've ever said your name right. Is it Weiner or Wiener?
We're wieners, not whiners.
Wieners.
My
So
children know
Jamie Weiner, hello, I've been working with her
that
for 2 years. But what she does, I call her Jamie.
the
Has been both of them have been so helpful in determining the needs of this group, and I want to really thank you for being so dedicated and working with me and making sure your colleagues are getting their needs met. To that end, we've given you an end of year survey that's been crafted and curated for the Disabilities Services Professionals Affinity Group. So please take the 3 to 5 minutes to fill it out so we get a sense as to who you're working with and what you want out of these groups and how we can best meet your needs. So, with that being said, I'm turning it over to Jamie Weiner, and she's going to introduce our esteemed guest, Erin.
Yes, I'm thrilled because Erin is a good friend and colleague, and I always get excited when I get to introduce him and he wrote me something out so I don't mess it up. So I appreciate that, Erin. So Erin Kaufman joined the Jewish Federations of North America's Washington, D.C. office in January of 2016 as a senior legislative associate. He focuses on disability and poverty issues. Erin came from the ARC, Maryland, where he lobbied members of the Maryland General Assembly and the Maryland Congressional Delegation on issues affecting Marylanders with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. Having cerebral palsy, Erin feels he brings a unique perspective to JFFNA's efforts on behalf of people with disabilities, and I would agree. Outside of advocacy, he was the instructor in Project Search Montgomery, a job training program for young adults with significant disabilities. Erin graduated from the University of Maryland, College Park, with a BA in American Studies and with several honors. He is on the executive committee of the Jewish Foundation for Group Homes and is the former vice chair of the Maryland Developmental Disabilities Council. He has also served on the board of the National Association of Developmental Disability Councils, as well as the Board of Disability Rights Maryland. So we are very honored to have you with us, Erin, and to talk to us about what is going on in Washington with disabilities, disability rights, and to just kind of keep us informed on what we can be doing and bring back to our communities. And how we can help advocate and help our self-advocates to advocate. Hi, Shelly. Thanks for joining us too.
Hi there.
Shelly Christensen is also on the call. Erin, I am going to hand it over to you.
Well, thank you, my friend, and the feeling is mutual. It's been a, you know, we bonded in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania with Shelley as our teacher many years ago. And it's just a pleasure to work with you and be your friend and see cute pictures of your children as they're growing up on Facebook. And so thank you. And it's so wonderful to see so many friends and patriots as we strive to create an inclusive society for people with disabilities and also meet new friends because, for example, I don't think I've had the pleasure of meeting Tammy or Sue, so I'm really excited to be here. Oh, and my friend Angela Bellin is here and so many other friends. So I just first wanted to give you an update on Jewish Disability Advocacy Month before we get into the nitty-gritty of, and if somebody could stop their screen share, that'd be great so I can see everyone's faces.
I think that's you, Shelley. Yeah.
So because JDAM is more exciting than gridlock in Washington. So my wonderful colleague and a member of your NJHSA team, Darcy Hirsch, your Washington representative, and I in the spring were tasked with creating a new disability advocacy event in February after 10 amazing years of Jewish Disability Advocacy Day. And that's exactly what we did. And we are very excited about that. And thank you to so many of your JFSs and to NJHSA specifically for signing on as a partner in for our event. What we will have is 15 virtual programs. It's kicking off on February the 3rd with none other than Yitzhak Perlman talking about high expectations for people with disabilities and living life with disabilities, and just his story. And we will have somebody who's a member of CABNET, which is Federation activists ages, I think, 30 to 45, who happens to have disabilities interviewing him. So that's the session that you won't want to miss. But it's a month long of amazing programs like that, focused on empowering people with disabilities, combating stigma, and engaging people in disability advocacy. For example, one of the stigmas we are going to try and correct, friends, is that hiring people with disabilities is simply just a good PR move, and that you hire people with disabilities because you take pity on them. When the fact is that people with disabilities make good workers. So we will have a session with companies who are leaders in the field, who know that people with disabilities are good workers, and it's not about charity, it's good business. Our friends at NJHSA will be doing a wonderful session on mental health and the impact of COVID-19 on people with disabilities' mental health. And our event will have a truly international flair because we're going to be focusing on, we're going to do a session on disability issues in Israel and Canada, respectively. And I'm very pleased that this, while it's a new idea, the idea has really caught fire, and we have 182 Jewish and secular partners. And pun intended, this is going to be the most accessible disability event since I arrived at JFNA, because there were numerous, as wonderful as JDAD was, there were numerous barriers to participation, such as you had to buy a ticket, you had to fly to DC, you had to get a hotel room. And all of our programming this year is going to be absolutely free, with no travel costs, no need to hire an aide to be with you for that day on Capitol Hill. And so we're also going to have leading voices within Congress and the Biden-Harris administration. So that is my JDAM update. Before I go into congressional stuff, I want to see if people have any questions or comments. But we have, if you could put this in the chat, we have a wonderful website. It is jewishtogether.org/JDAM, and people can always email me also. Secondly, obviously I want your clients with disabilities to participate, but I would also urge allies, people without disabilities, to participate, because to make it a truly inclusive society, we need allies. The Chicano movement didn't occur with just Mexicans. The LGBTQ movement did not occur with just people who were gay or lesbian. And that is the same thing with the disability movement. So it's going to be an unforgettable month, and I just want to see if you have any questions.
It sounds so exciting. I know you guys have been working really hard on it, but it sounds like a great, you know, idea to spread it out over the month, all these wonderful programs. That's just my thought. Did you say JDAM or JDAIM?
No, J-D-A-M. Okay, J-D-A-I-M is Shelley's. And
okay.
J-D-A-M is a component of J-D-A-I-M.
My Wi-Fi is funky. Okay.
And so...
Do people have questions? Hold on. Do people have questions? Anyone want to ask Aaron anything? Yes, Sarah's got
comments.
I have a question. I feel like I should answer. And Aaron, I know I owe you an email with something related to this.
I can't hear. Who is it?
Oh, sorry.
It's Sarah.
From LA. Sarah from LA. Hi, Aaron.
Oh, yes, Sarah. It's been 24 hours since we've spoken, and I got to get back to you.
I owe you an email. I know. Are these workshops and all the great programming, is that stuff that we should also be sharing to parents and other professionals or people with disabilities or both?
The more the merrier, Sarah, because of the fact that our CEO wants 1,000, and a big part of the month is eradicating barriers. So okay. part of eradicating barriers is inviting everybody and their grandmother to participate. Or in this group, I would say SAFTA probably.
Aaron, we have a question from Thomas. So the first session will be on February 3rd, 2021. What time? And then where can we go to find all the fabulous events that are going to be happening? And then how would we share those with those that we want to make sure they attend?
Well, first, let me answer Tom's question. First of all, your colleague, John Gutierrez, did a wonderful job with us at a GA session. I have great affection for JFS SoCal. It's going to be at 4 p.m. your time, 7 p.m. my time, Tom. And then also all the information about the sessions and things can be found on the website that Lisa put in the chat already. And Liv is absolutely right. I'm so excited to be working with her and Jason Grossman and Carly and everybody on working on a session for our friends north of the border. So it truly will be the Jewish Federations in North America this year. And so let me turn to politics. And public policy. Today is actually a good day in Washington because in addition, and sorry, Shelley, if you've heard some of this before, it's my second meeting with Shelley in a day. Good thing she's a good friend. Today is actually a good day in Washington because Congress might actually pass something, both in terms of COVID relief and funding the government. And it looks like it's going to be a $908 billion package that combines government funding, what they call an omnibus, and a COVID relief package. And I do not have a great deal of details for you, but I do have some that I can share with you based on drafts that I've been seeing, although things are changing by the hour. One of the things that I'm very excited about in terms of the bill is that there's going to likely be an increase in SNAP benefits. And why is that important to people with disabilities? Because about 26% of SNAP recipients are people with disabilities themselves. There also is likely to be some support for those that provide home and community-based services. It is likely to be far less than what we wanted, but there is likely to be some HCBS money, which is critical because HCBS providers, whether it be a day program, a job coaching provider, or a group home, are really losing their shirt as a result of the pandemic in terms of extra costs. For example, within our network, one group home agency told me that their monthly overtime costs since the start of the pandemic have gone up 50%, have gone up 50% per month, and they've lost $400,000 because they've had to close their day program for long stretches of time. And I'm sure that you all could commiserate with that particular provider. Another provider told me that her food budget has gone up by $12,000 a month because of the fact that the residents are home for, you know, 21 meals a week, in that most of them were having lunch at work or in their day program, or, you know, maybe on the weekends going out to dinner with mom and dad or brother or sister. One other provider that I know is struggling because of the fact that they have what's called a live-in model, where the direct support professionals that shower and shave and dress people like my brother have left their families 8 months ago and have been living with their the residents, with people like my brother, for 8 months, which means that personnel costs for that particular agency has gone up 40%. So there is likely to be a little bit of HCBS money. There is likely to be also some extension of telehealth provisions, because I know in speaking to many of you, many of your agencies, not you specifically because you aren't therapists, but many of you have colleagues that are excellent therapists that have been able to provide teletherapy for the your clients. So there's likely to be at least some extension of that. And so that, and I don't know a lot of the details because Leader McConnell, Speaker Pelosi, Leader Schumer and Leader McCarthy are still holed up in their offices negotiating with one another. But I do believe that there will be some good news to report by this weekend. Perhaps I'm being overly optimistic, but that's that. And also, I've talked many times about money follows the person. And that also expires tomorrow night. You see, the pressure is that they have to get their, try and get something done by tomorrow night at midnight, because otherwise the government shuts down. So what Congress may do is pass what's called a continuing resolution, which would kick the can down the road for a few days while they continue to negotiate. Hold on, this is my pause. Let me just check. Okay, yeah. And then... So we will see. But one of the major things that JFNA will be focusing on in this new Congress, because President-elect Biden has said that this package, that whatever they come up with in the next few days, is just a down payment. So one of the things that JFNA is pushing for is an increase in the federal medical assistance percentage. And before your eyes glaze over, that is increasing the federal contribution to Medicaid, which is not just a health insurance for people with disabilities, but it also provides HCBS services. So we support a 14% increase in the general FMAP, in the general contribution to an increase in the federal general contribution to Medicaid, because states are facing extreme financial hardship right now, and every state has to balance their budget except the state of Vermont. But we are also strongly pushing for what is a 10% on top of the 14%, an additional 10% FMAP bump increase in federal contributions for HCBS services. And then before I close, my colleague Elizabeth Cullen and I are working on a letter to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid that focuses on the fact that many people with many agencies such as yours have been able to benefit from something called Appendix K's, which means you get paid for doing your day program virtually. Or I was talking to a job coaching agency within our network who said Appendix K has allowed them to get paid for advocating with the power company that their clients lights not get turned off, or helping them find food because they couldn't afford food. And the challenge is that many of the Appendix K's, not in Jamie's state of Texas, that expires in March, but many of the Appendix K's have also are set to expire on January 27th, 2021. And we know that the emergency will continue. So we are going to write a letter to CMS about Appendix K. That letter will also include something about retainer payments, which have been very critical for people, who had to shut down their day programs. Also, many residents with disabilities went home and their parents didn't trust the group home, so instead they've been out for 8 months. But the way group homes are funded, every time Johnny's not in his bed, you lose $100 or $200 a month, depending on the people's needs and where they fit on the matrix score that the state pays. So retainer payments have been very helpful, but you can only get 3 30-day retainer payments. You're capped at 90 days. And with this emergency continuing to go and go and go, we are also trying to get CMS to relax the restrictions on retainer payments. So if you have questions about the letter, please let me know. And then let me just briefly talk about the Biden-Harris administration. Not being partisan, just stating a fact that the vice president has a very strong record dating back to his time in the Senate on people with disabilities. And he's laid out a very good plan for people with disabilities. So there's a lot of excitement within the disability community about what could get done. The thing that the $664,000 question is, will the partisan gridlock fever lift, my friends? Because either we're going to have a 50-50 Senate or we're going to have a 52-48 Senate. And Speaker Pelosi is only going to have a 4-seat majority in the House. So we're still going to have a very closely divided government. And the question becomes, how much do they want to play politics and how much do they want to govern? So we shall see. And so I've talked long enough, and I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Erin. I will also want to echo Lisa's sentiments, and I'm sure all of our sentiments about all the important work you are doing to support us all. And we are so lucky to have you on our team. Really appreciate you.
Well, I really appreciate what you do because, you know, I look at things from a macro level, but you are changing the lives of individuals with disabilities every day and getting people employed and advocating for their needs. So you all are able to touch lives in a way that I'm not able to with my current position. So I commend that.
Thank you.
I'm happy to hang around for few minutes.
I commend the fact that anyone who advocates, I was just going to say, anyone who advocates, you have to have so much patience and so much strength because, you know, you're fighting the system in a way. And this has been such a difficult you know, 4 years, and the way you ended it doesn't sound like it's going to get that much easier.
No, because I, again, not being partisan, but I think that many politicians, and this is just me speaking, my personal opinion, find it's more advantageous on both sides of the aisle to play politics so they can blame the other party than get things done. But we'll see what happens with Vice President Biden, President-elect Biden now, given that he served in the Senate for 36 years and will have former members of the House in his cabinet. So we'll see.
Well, it's always good to be optimistic, right? And hopeful. We can't give that up. You know, exactly. We want to make changes.
Now, let me put my email in the chat if people have any questions.
Anyone have questions? This is your opportunity to talk to the esteemed and well-known Aaron Kaufman.
Thank you,
during
Lisa.
During Hanukkah?
Yes. Well, what I want to know, actually, if I may ask you all a question, since you all are being quiet, but what I want to know, and you know, maybe just two or three of you to you know, help ease the conversation, but are the things we're working on relevant to your agencies, and what unique COVID challenges are your agencies facing? So maybe people can put their answers in the chat, but you're on the ground every day, so I'd love to get your feedback. And maybe a couple people will share.
Because the information that you get, you'll be able to use in your advocating.
And yes, because the more stories I get about Soros that people are having with financial issues or with retainer payments or other troubles that you're having, the better I can advocate, because staff is used to see me, but it is very helpful. For example, if I'm able to go into Rob Portman's office and say, for example, that JFS Columbus is experiencing this particular thing, or if I go into Elizabeth Warren's office and say JFNCS Boston is experiencing that, or Pat Toomey's office for Pittsburgh, and so on and so on.
Does anybody want to unmute?
Well, hopefully I didn't put you all to sleep, but I'm going to just put my email in the chat, because I know on public meetings people can tend to be shy, so.
Rebecca Wanatic, you're shy? No. What do you have to tell Aaron?
No, I've chatted with Aaron. I think he's heard from our community plenty, but thank you.
Yes.
Nice to see you, Aaron.
I know my people. The only reason you don't see my face is because my Wi-Fi is very uneven, and I think it's better if I just have my camera up.
Great. Thank you. Aaron, are you going to stick around or are you going to head out?
Well, what's the next segment?
I think we're just going to talk and catch up and see what our agencies are doing to support folks during the pandemic.
I can stay for a few minutes because I can stay for a few minutes, but I have a 4 o'clock and I have to get one thing done before, but I can stay for a few minutes because I'm here to represent you. So
great. So stay as long as you can. And when you have to head out, head out. So again, thank you so much for coming back for a repeat performance to our group. Much appreciated. One thing is I'd like just to see Shelley, if you could take 1 minute and give a blurb about your 2021 J-Dame, not to be kind of confusing because Aaron's talking about J-Dame and you're talking about J-Dame, but just to talk about maybe some of the great resources that we can find in your 2021 J-Dame guide.
Great. Thanks, Stacy. Erin, it's always a pleasure to hear you even twice in one day. So JDAME is the broad, big umbrella for what happens in February. And there are many, many organizations that are participating this year. I'm just going to pull up the JDAME guide for you. This is in under a minute. This is our webpage. It's www.jdame.org. And we have dedicated this year to something, a theme of community without walls. And as such, all of us have been gotten really pretty well-versed in creating community without walls and supporting people with disabilities and mental health conditions. This is the guide, and I wanted to just, I'm just gonna click on it. It's free. Knock yourselves out, share it. That's why it's here. It's the program guide. And what I wanna do is just, you can kind of see, but I wanna take you to our partner pages. There's also JDAME and technology. So that's gonna be important, I think, in terms of how we communicate different resources there as well. But here we go, the JDAME 2021 Community Without Walls Partners. And here you have JDAME. And if you just click on it, it'll take you right to the webpage that Erin was talking about. There's a couple links there. There's also a promotional toolkit and someone to talk to there. So just to run through this, Chabad is again hosting Shabbat Together, February 12th. Great resources there. This is Faith Inclusion Network is sponsoring Community for All Conference. It is interdenominational, inter-organizations, and there will be Jewish content on this as well. Howard Blass, Gabby Kaplan, Mayer, and I are doing a session on B'nai Mitzvah, and there'll be some other things too with relationship to employment and supporting our...
This looks great.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'd say that because everybody was so great to contribute. And one of the things I really want to highlight is a webinar series that Gabby Kaplan Mayer and I started in May when we realized we weren't going to be seeing everybody, all our friends and colleagues at conferences, and everybody has so much to share. And we started this webinar. And we are really gearing up our January and February episodes to focus on resources and different programming ideas for JDAME. This, we'll have an author's roundtable in January. We're going to, Erin, I think you're scheduled January 28th to be with us again for, as we talk about all the different initiatives that are around. We're going to do a session on mental health with the Blue Dove Foundation. And then we're gonna do on February 23rd, in conjunction with Jewish Disability Advocacy Month, in that particular week of programming, we'll be talking about what Congress will be focusing on, the new administration, and what we can do about that. So please download this, and I'm gonna close. We have a lot of different organizations that are involved in this. So I want to thank you. Just want to let you know, JDAME started as JDAM, Jewish Disability Awareness Month, in 2009. There were about six communities involved at that time. And as we're going into 2021, 12 years in, we have seen the explosive growth where it's in six continents, at least six continents. I don't know how many continents there are in the world, but plenty, and hundreds of communities around the world. So I want to thank you in advance for all your participation. Feel free to reach out to me. I'll put my information in the chat if you have any questions. And I want to thank you, Lisa, Stacy, and Jamie for inviting me.
Thank you, Shelley. And I can personally say that your webinar that you do with Gabby is so great. I don't think I've missed one, and I glean some really relevant and useful information every time I listen. So I wanted to put a plug in for that. And the question, as far as some of the events that you show that are coming up, who are they appropriate for? What audience do you want? Is it for us? Is it for our participants? Who would want to participate in some of the events that you were showing us in the guide?
The way that it's structured this year is that there's something really that will appeal to most anybody. And I want to encourage you, you know, it can, these programs and all the events, the things that JFNA is producing, and among other things that are there, are for community use. And I think this is the first time that we've been able to look at programming, all of us in our communities, look at programming and say, wow, there's something going on from the Miracle Project in Los Angeles that's free. And I think, you know, let's sign on to that. It's just going to be great. So one of the things we'll be doing on the JDAME site is doing a running calendar. So you'll be able to check back there too for events, check on social media and so forth. So I think going through the guide will be helpful. We've tried explaining what some of the things are. And we also have a new book this year, two new books. And the first one is called We Walk by Amy Lutz. It's about parenting her son, Jonah, who has a more severe form of autism. I think it'll be controversial. Amy will be our guest on Everyone's Welcome on Monday. So feel free to connect with me or Stacy if you want to send the information out to everybody. We'd love to have you join us. And we also have a children's book called Just Elliot. And both authors are Jewish. They're very Hamish. So that's another aspect of programming. We're partnering with Real Abilities in Toronto. And tomorrow we're talking with Houston about partnering for Real Abilities. The important thing is to make everything available, because raising awareness means educating everybody in different ways.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing this information with us. Thanks, Shelley. Important work. Who else has anything? We can just spend, you know, the remaining time kind of going over what has your program, what's been doing, what's been some silver linings, what's been some barriers you're running into, some maybe pros and cons of taking your program virtually. This is just our time. Feel free to unmute and be able to tell us what's going on. We're here for each other. Let's support each other for the last several minutes we have.
Sue had something to say. Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if you've seen the weather reports, we had a big storm overnight and into today. And while this COVID time has been trying for everybody, this has been the first time that we've been able to provide virtual services on a snow day, which is really exciting. And on a day that we normally lose at least $8,000, we are able to bill out for some of the work and things like that. So that's really a weird and odd silver lining. Who knows what will happen in the future if our state funding will allow for remote services to do that, say, in the future. But that is one weird little kind of silver lining today. So.
Yeah. Great. Sorry about the snowstorm I heard you got, but isn't that great that as far as it sounds like your participants are going, you didn't miss a beat. And maybe if we would have been not able to do virtually, maybe you wouldn't be able to serve some of the folks given the weather conditions. Is that correct, Sue?
Yeah. So we've actually been doing a lot of virtual programming since the end of March. So our participants are very keyed in that way, and we only have less, you know, about 15 participants in two different locations that are we have censuses of, you know, 40 and 60 plus that are only in service in in-person programming back since we were shut down for COVID. So we are still serving a lot of people virtually on a day-to-day basis, as well as a few people in person. And a real kind of sad piece to that, but we had another kind of silver lining is that today on one of those virtual calls, we were able to see some not so great things happening in a residential program that we were able to call in and get stopped and get kind of the service coordinator and things like that involved in right away. So again, something, you know, another silver lining kind of as well. So.
Yeah.
What, you saw something happening virtually on the on Zoom but that they didn't realize was going on, or?
Apparently not. Yeah.
So you were able to rectify and say, hey, go do
something. Well, yeah, we contacted DDS. We made a DPPC call.
What happened?
Yeah. So.
What happened?
Were there any details or not? Can loosely?
Allegedly a staff member hit the individual. So.
Well, sticking with Sue's theme, not the sad part of
everything's
Sue's,
confidential. Don't worry.
Yes. How about some more silver linings? I think, you know what, I'm in Minneapolis, and although it's not snowing and we haven't seen the sun in a couple of days and it's kind of chilly, so I need some silver linings. Yes,
yeah,
Sarah.
Let's do some. At the end of this year, we all need silver linings. You're right.
Amen. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, it's definitely not snowing here. It's, let me see how hot it is. It's 63 degrees here in LA, which for us is like winter. So,
oi,
Thomas is not, he knows. But we could actually really use a snow day. I could use a day just of not having to take off. So, but I know I lived on the East Coast and I know how annoying the snow's only pretty right when it's landing or and then anyways. So, I would say silver linings is that we're going, we know we've gone all virtual, and actually in all of our, in our Javerim program, which we heard about, I think in, it seems like a year ago, but I'm sure it was like in January that we presented at that meeting, in our social program, we've had members come, we're doing 4 programs a week. So we've actually like increased, we used to have like 8 a month and now we're 16 a month. We have 2 during the day and 2 evenings. And we're up, like we're at like double capacity or participation. And we have members that have moved away and moved too far. They couldn't come to programs. And now they're coming because it's so much easier on Zoom. And for our workshops, we also transitioned everything in HaMerkaz, in our parent program in HaMerkaz, to our workshops on Zoom. And we had someone come in from like Northern California that had heard about it. They were on our mailing list. Just like geographically, LA is so spread out and we serve the whole LA. But if people were in the Valley, they wouldn't come to the city for a workshop, or if they were somewhere else, and you know, there's so much traffic in LA, but now because of Zoom, it's not, they don't have to worry about any of that. So we're getting a lot of parents coming on for all different topics. So that's definitely, I think, a silver lining that we're seeing. You know, we hadn't foreseen that our workshops are totally up in terms of numbers. So
good. Really good news.
Yeah.
It's like catching people that we haven't been able to necessarily catch before. Thank you,
Sarah. Yeah, people that were on our mailing list like from years and years ago. Like a mom came to something like a few, like last month, and I've been with the program for a long time, and I knew her like when her son was like 8. And I said, oh my God, he must be like in his 20s. And she said, yeah, he's like 23. So we're in a totally different phase, working out like how he's accepting his autism now. And it's just, I couldn't believe that she came because I hadn't heard from her in years. And she's told, she's doing great now. So it was really, it was great to hear from her because, you know, we work with those, what happens to them kind of thing.
That's right. Those are wonderful. You know, that is the silver lining. You can reach so many more people because there's no obstacle to get to where you need to be.
Yeah, she lives really far out in LA, like in the total part of LA. So yeah, that's definitely a silver lining for us.
Good. Who else has a silver lining they want to share? I can share one. We do programs for Jewish adults with disabilities over the Twin Cities area. And we too have been able to pivot to virtual events, which was working well. But we had a particularly lovely one on Monday night. We usually have an annual karaoke Hanukkah Jubilee party with our sister inclusion programs, Jewish inclusion programs in the Twin Cities. And we have a latke dinner and light candles. And we just like dance the night away. I think I got in like 10,000 steps at the last year. It's just a lot of action, a lot of fun. So people were really starting to feel disappointed. Hey, how are we going to do karaoke this year? Hanukkah karaoke is my favorite event. And we were really able to swing it. I put together Hanukkah presents for the participants that was a insulated mug with hot chocolate and dreidels and gelt and some Hanukkah window cleans and other things. And between myself and volunteers, we ended up delivering 50 bags to Karen Connections participants. And then I said, hey, let's use this for the Hanukkah Jubilee. So it was kind of nice. It brought us all together. We all had our little, you know, Karen Connections mug and hot chocolate and goodies. And I hired a leader that's really proficient in Zoom and YouTube. And we ended up having about 45 people doing karaoke on 27 songs where we split the screen and everyone was singing there. Just like being there. I mean, it really filled a niche. So again, it's such a silver lining. In my wildest dreams, I didn't imagine we could sing and dance and karaoke on Zoom, but you know, if you plan it, it will happen. So that's something else that we are thinking about, although just like all of us, people are really itching to get back to the real world. So I know we will, you know, God willing, do our in-person Caring Connections events in the future, but I don't think we're going to get rid of this because like other folks were saying, we are hitting people. We've had like 10 group homes that can't come to events join us on Zoom events. So I definitely think it's going to look like a hybrid model. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
So we had a similar story. It actually combines the snow day and the party. So in Baltimore, we had some snow yesterday and then again through the night and to today. And we had a Hanukkah party planned for last night, which is normally in person. I'm in employment support services. And then at JCS, we also share the party with our support services for individuals with disabilities and the JCC. We come together. And this year we included Friendship Circle into our party. And we planned a virtual party. So normally at the JCC every year, but I hired a DJ. We always have a DJ, but we got a different DJ who's more familiar with this virtual Zoom platform. And we didn't have to cancel the party last night, whereas we would have had we been having the party in person. We had made Hanukkah gift kits and several of us drove them around to everybody's houses. I think we ended up having about 60 people on Zoom, which is more than we used to have in person. We probably had maybe 40. Also people who weren't able to come before were able to come last night and they just had a great time. They had light up LED wands that everybody was flinging around and sunglasses and staff and some other people didn't get the gift bags that had the sunglasses, but the DJ did a scavenger hunt and said, everybody go get your sunglasses. Everybody had sunglasses on and dancing. And it was just really a great time. He said at one point, he had videos he put up and showed pictures of dogs. He said, if you have a puppy, bring your puppy up to the screen and all these things. And I lit the candles and it was really wonderful. I mean, I would say it was definitely one of the brightest spots that we've had. And we've also seen people from all different areas since we've been partnering with more Jewish organizations like Friendship Circle. You're familiar with them. They touch the whole country. So we've met, you know, people have made friends from Colorado and Texas and all different places that they wouldn't have otherwise had the opportunity to meet.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, great. So I have a different type of story. We have, I'm Barbara from South Jersey in Cherry Hill, and we have a culinary training program for individuals for employment. And unfortunately, we had to close it back in March, and we haven't reopened it. You know, usually we train about 8 people every quarter in the training program. And it also had a large catering business where it had built up a name within the community. And we were like up to about $100,000 in catering orders that Wow. came from our training program. You know, and we really, it's a great program. We've had great outcomes in terms of employment. But recognizing that it's going to get quiet. I mean, the name is Soups and Sweets. And it's kind of become a little bit of a household name in the Cherry Hill area because the products are really good. So we decided to create a cookbook. And the cookbook has both a combination of a lot of the favorite recipes, which we never would have given out before because we always kept them under lock and key. But it also had a really big component of like components of the curriculum in the cookbook. So it's a combination cookbook of the parts of the training program and the recipes. And we originally were going to order 200, thinking how many are we going to sell? You know, could it be so much? So we've now sold 550.
Wow.
And we're putting in another order of another 200 because we really think that the word is getting out about the cookbook. So it's kept, I mean, we had our students involved also in submitting recipes and, you know, being somewhat involved in the creation of it. So we really, you know, kind of created something out of an opportunity that wasn't going to be there for the past, you know, 6-9 months of the training program, and now have kept the name alive. And, you know, we're thinking when we come back, and we certainly hope we will, and we're hoping in the summertime with the training program, that we may realign the mission of it, where it had been a catering business that was, you know, they produced all the products on the training program. We may become more mission aligned and look to provide food for food insecurities in, around the community, you know, and do our training, not so much on sweets, but maybe more savory types of things that then would then go back to the community. So
that sounds like a win-win. Sounds like a real win-win.
Conversations, yeah.
You know, in terms of raising money, people want to raise money, you know, to give to your organization, you know, for your soups and sweets or whatever you're going to call it, to train, you know, the individuals who are doing it. And then the food goes back into the community.
Right.
Seems like
right.
a really great way to engage people and get them to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's all
yeah.
full circle. Right. I love that.
Yeah. No. And the response, you know, I think because it's, you know, a lot of people have cookbooks, you know, and do they really need everything that's so accessible online now, but you know, the money all went back to the training program. And, you know, we just have so much support in the community for this program that we were blown away by the support for the cookbook.
Really smart.
So, yeah.
You know, sorry you didn't hear that, Jamie. You'd be interested with your celebrations company. I'll tell you afterwards what they're doing.
Well, I did. I got kicked off. I don't know how. I'm sorry. When you were talking about silver linings, you know, I run a social entrepreneurial program for adults with disabilities. We employ adults and they create products that we then sell to help sustain the program and teach them vocational and life skills. And so one of our bread and butter products is hand-rolled beeswax Hanukkah candles. And, you know, it's a steady, you know, gig for us. But man, oh man, did it blow up on us this year. I mean, our inventory is empty and we were literally rolling candles to order. And we had, you know, we have a website, shop.celebrationcompany.org, just in case you're interested, just in case you want to buy. But we, you know, we have this also like, you know, sleepy little Etsy, you know, store that we, you know, I think we had put up before we had created a website and kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden I started getting these Etsy orders in. And so the silver lining is that, you know, we lost a lot of money with our program because of our program fees and because people weren't coming at all. And then we have people coming just back 1-2 days a week and those sorts of things. But our retail sales, which sustains, the money all goes back into the program, has really increased this last quarter, which really helps to offset. So we didn't have to lay anybody off or anything like that. It really helped to offset things. So it was really nice to have that community support and people really wanting to buy our product was amazing. So that was a nice little silver lining. And everybody, all of our employees, which is what our folks with disabilities included, all were able to earn paychecks during the pandemic, and even when they were working from home. So that was something we were very proud of. So they were able to roll the candles and other parts of other products that we create. They were able to do that at home, and we were kind of like delivering the boxes to them safely and picking up the finished products and such. So that's a silver lining for us, for sure. So now I just kind of, now that Hanukkah ends tonight, I kind of get to lower my shoulders a little bit and to get a little sigh, a little break maybe, I hope.
I just want to get to one question that I really do think is important, and I don't know if there's quite the right answer for it, but Debbie asked, does anyone have examples of how to make, anybody have examples of how they have made creative connections during this time without using Zoom or participating virtually? Many of her participants do not have access to a computer or are unfamiliar how to use them. And I definitely do agree with you, Debbie, that that is a barrier that we have found. As many times as we can serve people virtually that we can't seem to get a hold of in person, it also throws up a wall and a barrier of assuming that everyone A, has electronics, and then everyone can know how to use them.
I would add, sorry, JB, were you going to say something? Oh, so I was going to add, we had a few members who didn't have smartphones, definitely didn't know what Zoom was, but they couldn't even like go on FaceTime. So we do have members in our, in Chavirim that call in, like we give them, and we have to walk them through the call in every time, like every class. So they definitely don't get the full experience, but they're not comfortable doing video. And then we have other members who we had to help them like walk them through how to set it up on their computer. They were very wary. They thought it was going to be like a virus from China. And I don't know. They just got all sorts of ideas. So at the beginning, like we had to do a lot of education on how to help them set it up. And we also had like a small amount of like grant money that was going to expire that we offered to like help people get smartphones. I think we only ended up doing it like for one person to help someone get that. So that might be an option. And it was, and then other people, we had to talk to their families because their families were very worried about them going on, like using more technology. I think one person like had a flip phone and she wanted to get an iPad for a long time. And her brother said, no, I don't want you on an iPad. It's too scary. People are going to take advantage of you. And it was a lot of psychoeducation with the family that she's not going to go onto like websites, and she's an older adult, but, she had lived a very sheltered life. So this was a really good opportunity for her to come. She did get an iPad, like the family could afford it, an iPad for her. And it was, this was an opportunity, like that this was a safe space. And so that's, I guess, a silver lining for her that she was able to come on, because for her, like Chavirim was her whole life. So to not be able to come to Chavirim, it was like, she would get really, really upset and depressed. So now she can come and, we have a few people that call in, and for them, it's like a huge lifeline because on Zoom, you can know you have the call-in number. So it's definitely not the same, but it was a lot of education and walking them through every step of how to log on. And we would offer to like send people to their houses to get it set up for them. So we definitely take it for granted that for us, it's so easy.
Great. Thank you. My phone's ringing. Jamie, do you have something to add?
We also walked people through. We sent job coaches and personal support staff to people's houses for those who are comfortable working together, either in their homes or outdoors. But we used Appendix K through DDA, which Aaron had mentioned when he was talking, and we were able to order tablets for individuals through Appendix K, which you can still do. We can still do that in Maryland. I'm not sure about all the states, but when Aaron said it sounded like Appendix K was in other states.
Well, maybe Jamie can write that down for Debbie in the chat, whatever, sure. Or your email, right, Debbie? And then you'll reach out to her?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And was it Debbie or Tammy? Comments? I can't remember who asked it. Yeah. Okay, it was Debbie.
Angela, did you have something?
You don't have a silver lining?
Well, I think this is, first of all, just being able to listen and hear these stories and get to connect with people from LA and New Jersey and Boston and Minneapolis. Just like, this is a huge silver lining. I was just saying, right, all of you guys, like, just to hear your voices and hear you tell what's going on in your communities, the Hanukkah stuff, like, oh, huge heart warmer, huge silver lining. And I was just thumbs upping the Appendix K. We were able to get a lot of tablets for clients who, a huge disabilities population has emerged in the pandemic, which is our seniors. People who or older adults, maybe just 40 and over adults who kind of were on the fringe prior. And then when the pandemic hit, really.
Hold on. I'm sorry. 40 and older is now an older adult.
Well,
snap.
Did you see I caveated that 60s? And then I said, and there's another population of like 40 and older.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not used to being considered an older an adult. I have to get used to that.
So yes, I typically work with young adults. So for me, anyone over 30 is older. But this population has kind of emerged recently as the pandemic has hit. And they may have, like I was saying, they may have been on the fringe before, kind of making it work. And now all of a sudden, their needs are more pronounced and they aren't as technologically aware and they may not have what they need. And so we've been able to provide a lot of hardware to people that we would never have before. And I don't wanna misspeak, but I think I believe it has to do with what you were saying with the money, Jamie, that came down that way.
Well, thank you so much for that nice little ending to 2020. You know, it is a silver lining to be able to connect with everyone across the country.
I think so too. I think,
you guys.
I think so too. It's good to know that we're not alone. Like, I mean, we know that, but.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you. While I haven't said much on the call today, it really is very reassuring to know that you all feel similarly in your communities across the country.
Great. And then just a little plug, since this group is going so well and it's warm and fuzzy and it's such a wealth of information, please do fill out the survey that Lisa's going to email, because, you know, it's our group and we want it to go in the direction that's going to work. So Jamie and I would love your feedback about how we want to structure it, what kind of things we might want to talk about in the upcoming year.
And also, we're having a disability services professionals program showcase in the annual conference, April 19th to the 22nd. It's going to be very affordable and for agencies. So hopefully a lot of staff will be able to attend virtually, of course. So, you know, submit some RFPs. We want to hear about all these fabulous programs, you know, that you're doing, because we can replicate them in our own communities, right? And so think about that as well. It's in the email that I'm going to send out.
Thank you for upping the date. Oh, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
So you sent the survey out or you didn't?
Not yet, right?
I sent it out as soon.
Oh, okay, because I thought I already missed it.
Because we're off the phone. I have it ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Okie doke. So I guess we do have to say goodbye. So happy Hanukkah, right? Happy New Year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Taking place in February 23rd, right? So terrific.
See you next year.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.